Well, good morning, everybody. And I have no idea. I think this is probably just for the cameras and not actually amplifying my voice, so I'll speak loudly. I'm Assemblymember Mark Berman, and it's my privilege to represent Campbell and West San Jose in the California State Assembly. And first off, I want to give a huge thank you to Campbell Union School District for hosting us at Castlemont Elementary School and for collaborating with us on this initiative to make all California students safer. I want to take a moment to acknowledge that this is a deeply personal and painful subject for the Castlemont community. And I know that the pain and trauma of losing a student in 2022 is still very real for the community. It actually brought back memories for me when I was in middle school in Palo Alto 30 years ago. A middle school student, she was a year or two younger than I was killed biking to school. It was not in the school zone. But the devastation that has for the family, first and foremost, for the students of the school that are so young, they can hardly process that. And then just for the broader community, for the administrators, for the teachers, for the elected officials, for the entire community, that's a really deep, deep pain that no community should have to go through. And I know that having us here and just having this conversation can bring back that pain. So really appreciate all of you for participating and supporting this effort. Today, together, we channel that grief into a desperately needed conversation about school zone safety in Campbell and across California. I've heard from too many parents concerned about close calls in front of schools or tragically kids being hit by cars and seriously injured or even killed. There are changes we can make to update our policies and advance school zone safety, putting kids and adults' well-being first. That is why we are here to announce AB 2583, the Safer School Zones Act. School zone signs in California lower the speed limit, quote, when children are present, which is a standard that's difficult for drivers to know how to comply with. It's difficult to enforce, and it does not appropriately protect school employees, parents, or other caregivers. That's why only six other states mandate the use of the, quote, when children are present language. The majority of other states, including New York, Texas, Oregon, to Michigan, all across the country, they utilize timeframes. With this change, we'll achieve higher compliance with the school zone speed limit, which is critically important to student safety. The Safer School Zone Act will also lower speeds in school zones to 25 miles per hour or less. And of the 39 states that set a maximum school zone speed limit by statute, California is one of just 9 states in the country with a school zone speed limit greater than 20 miles per hour. While California allows cities to lower school zones, speed limits in certain areas, limitations on this option keep traffic too fast in far too many school zones. The research is as intuitive as it is true. The faster you drive, the more dangerous you become. For example, the risk of death for a pedestrian is 3 times higher if hit by a car going 25 miles per hour than if hit by a car going 15 miles per hour. Lastly, this bill also pushes cities to better plan for school zones. These changes will make our streets safer for students, parents, and school employees, and will align California with the majority of other states across the country. That's why AB 2583, the Safer School Zones Act, is supported by street safety advocates, doctors and pediatricians, and school employees. Speaking of which, it's my pleasure to introduce Kirsten Blad, Associate Director of State Policy for Streets for All, which is the sponsor of AB 2583. Kirsten.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Good morning. My name is Kirsten Blad, and I'm the Associate Director of State Policy for Streets for All. We're an organization out of Los Angeles that promotes street safety, and we are the proud sponsor of the Safe School Zone Act. I'm here today because of one simple but devastating fact. Traffic violence is the number one cause of death for California school-aged children. It's not disease. It's not guns. It's not drowning. It's getting hit by a car. And for too long, we've chosen to treat this traffic violence as an unavoidable problem. But in truth, this carnage is the result of a policy choice, a choice of inaction. We believe a school zone should be a safe haven from this violence, yet too often our school zones are contributors to it. Children and caregivers alike are forced to navigate the dangers of speeding, distracted drivers. The current standard of 25 mile per hour speeds, relying on when children are present, is dangerous. It's a combination of a speed that is too high with a standard that is both uncompliable and unenforceable. The evidence shows it's dangerous. And if you've ever driven in a school zone trying to figure out if a child is actually present, you know it's dangerous. And lastly, every one of our neighboring states, Oregon, Nevada, and Arizona, they know it's dangerous, which is why they changed their laws years ago. When children are present also does not account for the fact that grandparents, teachers, crossing guards all continue to go unprotected because they aren't a child. Like 72-year-old Pancho Rios, who was killed by a driver in 2023 while walking his 4-year-old granddaughter home from school in a crosswalk near a school in Tulare County. He died pushing his granddaughter out of the way to save her. Now, I introduced myself by my professional title, but I should also mention that my other title is mom. I'm the mom of a 2-year-old girl who I know will be in kindergarten before I know it. And her future kindergarten is just a quarter of a mile from our house. But I don't feel safe making that walk with her because I watch every day as drivers ignore the children in the crosswalks and speed past the school. I want a world and a school that can reasonably let me believe that I and my daughter will get her to school safely every single day. And that's what our bill does. By creating a standard that is the same in every school zone across the state, AB 2583 is also making it more likely for drivers to comply. No longer will we ask drivers to take their eyes off the road and search for whether there is a child present, because after our bill, drivers will know, whether you're in Shasta County or San Diego County, that before and after school you need to slow down. Streets for All, along with Assemblymember Berman, are committed to fighting for safer school zones where children don't have to risk their lives just to get to school. Thank you.
Thank you, Kirsten. And I just want to emphasize a point that she made, which is that the number one cause of death for children in California is being hit by a car. That's awful. And that statistic is just crying out for us to do more to keep students safe, to keep young people safe, especially when they're going to or from school. Next up, I'd like to introduce Richard Wynn, who's on the Campbell Union School District Board. He's a trustee on the Campbell Union School District Board, and this is an issue that he's very passionate about and has been working with me in my office about ever since I started representing Campbell. Richard, please come up.
When Jacob, a third grade student at Castlemont, was struck by a car and tragically died as he was walking to school, his family, friends, the Castlemont community, and the Campbell Union School District as a whole were devastated. As we all mourned the tragic loss of an innocent 8-year-old life, we also wanted to make sure that this would never happen again. One of the first lawmakers I spoke with was Assemblyman Mark Berman. And respectful of the grieving process, Assemblyman Berman toured Castlemont as well as the crosswalk where the accident happened. When he saw the flowers, candles, and letters left by Jacob's loved ones as they memorialized Jacob's life at the crosswalk, the Assemblymember turned to us, the Castlemont principal, our superintendent, fellow board trustee Danielle Cohen and me, and promised to work on increasing pedestrian safety around schools. And true to his word, he and his staff diligently researched this issue and worked with stakeholder organizations as well as our district and crafted AB 2583. This bill would lower speed limits and create clear expectations for drivers around schools. And this legislation can potentially save lives and keep children out of harm's way. So we're so thankful for the Assemblymember, his staff, and the partner organizations for this bill. And we hope that the legislature passes and the governor signs this legislation, because families deserve to know that when they send their students to walk to school, that they're safe on these streets. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Nguyen. And next up, I'd like to introduce Dr. Shelley Viramontes, who's the Campbell Union School District Superintendent and who was with us that day that Richard referenced.
And thank you for this opportunity. You know, so often efforts to remedy a situation fade as soon as the public attention fades. Thankfully, that is not the case here. We are so grateful to our legislators and government agencies who've maintained their diligence to make school zones safer. And we are grateful for Assemblymember Berman's new sponsoring of AB 2583 to bring more protection to our students, staff, and our families. Community support and partnerships are making this neighborhood safer for pedestrians. Unfortunately, as we've heard today, these changes come too late for our dear student Jacob, who was tragically struck by a car while crossing the street simply to come to school for the day. We are determined that Jacob's death not be in vain, and this is one more step in the right direction. As we know, any tragedy is one tragedy too many, and we are committed to continue working with our state legislators to improve pedestrian safety conditions, not only in our own school communities, but in every school community. So thank you, Assemblymember.
Thank you so much, Superintendent. And next up, I'd like to introduce Donnell Fossler, Area C Director for the California School Employees Association and Library Media Assistant in Franklin McKinley School District. Thank you so much.
Good morning, and thank you for the invitation to represent. My name is Donnell Fossler, and I am a classified school employee member in Franklin McKinley School District here in San Jose. Classified school employees are the support staff who keep schools running and keep our students safe. But safety begins before our kids even set one foot on our school grounds. Students, parents, and staff come to school every day, and classified employees put themselves in the middle of a crosswalk to help ensure that they can cross the street safely. But the current speed limit of 25 miles per hour is too fast, and especially when approaching or passing a school. And leaving it up to drivers to determine if children are present is too subjective. Excuse me. Lost my train of thought. I'm so sorry. By the time someone drives at 25 miles per hour can see a small child, it's too late for them to stop. Reducing the speed limit to 15 miles per hour, clearly defining the hours that is in effect, and establishing a perimeter around the school will create a much safer environment for students, parents, and school staff. And that's why California Classified Employees Support Assemblymember Berman's AB 2583. Thank you.
Thank you, Donnell. And I mean, that's a great point. If you think about it, when you're approaching a school, first you have to. A lot of folks don't realize that they're in a school zone. They see the school zone sign. They see the when children are present. Then they take their eyes off the road, and they start to scan the surrounding area. And by the time they've slowed down, they're already, you know, past the school and out of the school zone. And so having it be clearly delineated, the timing for when you need to do that, just makes it so much easier for drivers to comply with the law. And that's really what we should be striving to accomplish in California. So with that, I really want to again thank the Castlemont community. Really want to thank everybody who joined us today. And happy to take any questions. Folks have any questions about the bill for me or for any of our speakers? Or maybe we did such a good job explaining the bill that there are no So the hours are 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. But it does include flexibility for communities to alter those hours if those hours don't make sense based on the circumstances in that area. Those are the hours that have the greatest possibility for risk. We've actually already had some cities reach out to us to say, hey, we want it earlier. We want to start at 6 a.m. because some students get dropped off really early at school. That's why we want to have that flexibility for each community to be able to do what's right for them. Thank you for the question. Yes, please. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's and thank you for that, and thank you for being here, and that's why your point is kind of perfectly emphasizes why we want that flexibility. You know better than I do what the right times are for Castlemont, and the whole district, and different schools might have different time zones that make sense for them, and so we really want to have that maximum flexibility. So yeah, I appreciate that point. And then we also, we want it to be effective, but we don't want it to be overly broad and not include times where there isn't a big risk. And so, if it's 7 to 9 or 7 to 8:45 in one community and 6 to 10 in another community, that we should allow them to do that. Appreciate that. Thank you. Please. Well, we wanted 15, but I've learned that you can't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Like any bill, it's we have a legislative process, and so this bill will be going to its first committee, the Transportation Committee, in early April. And I was having conversations with the chair of that committee and their staff. And when you look out at the state, we are in the minority, in the strong minority, in terms of having it be 25 miles an hour. But a lot of states sort of break between 15 and 20. So we started with 15 after conversations with various stakeholders in the process. We've increased it to 20 as the ceiling, as the highest you can go. But communities have the opportunity to lower it to 15 miles per hour if they think that's what's best for their community. And there's a process that they can go through to do that. So we hope that creates the flexibility. It creates a safer environment for everybody, but also creates flexibility for communities to go even lower than 20 miles per hour if they think that makes sense. Yeah. Any other question? Please. Yeah, it's a great question. Are you a city council member? I used to be. This is something that we're in the process of figuring out. What should the implementation timeline be for the bill? And then how can we get more funding to help cities and help school districts to update their signage? Because I know that's no small feat. So I'll be working to try to get increased funding. It might be a multi-year process. Based on this year's budget reality. I fully appreciate that this isn't something where you snap your fingers and it can immediately go into effect. So we're going to build that into the legislation to make sure that there's a transition process for schools and that we get support for communities to be able to update their signs. Yeah, very, very relevant question. Yes. If states pass mandates, then we have to. So I am committed to, I am personally committed to working to get that funding as quickly as possible. And that'll be a part of, as the bill goes through certain committees, and then for the funding piece, it's the Appropriations Committee. We'll have to work with the chair of those committees in the Assembly and the Senate to figure out what timing is realistic. In terms of the ability to get that funding. But I'm committed to doing everything I can to get that funding for communities. Absolutely.
What other obstacles are there to getting this to the governor's desk to sign, and how can we help?
Thank you for the question. Thank you for being here. Thank you for the support for the bill. California is a big, diverse state. And different communities have different, kind of realities around their schools. And more rural schools don't have as big of the concerns necessarily as more urban schools. LA is going to be different than Shasta County, which was referenced earlier. So I think the biggest obstacle or the biggest kind of challenge is getting people throughout the state to reach out to their local elected officials, or not their local elected officials, their legislators, to explain to them why this is relevant no matter where they live. And it is. We're doing everything that we can to get more and more students to walk and bike and roll to school, but we need to create the safe environment for them to be able to do that. And it doesn't matter where you live in California, every student deserves that right to safety. And so I think it's just going to be a conversation. The more we can get school boards across the state to support the bill, and working maybe with the California School Board Association and the CSEA, thank you for your support, and ACSA and other school advocacy organizations, I think the better chance we'll have in convincing all of my colleagues, no matter where they represent, that this is something that's good for their constituents, especially their youngest constituents. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great question and a huge part of the bill, because enforcement is a lot easier when there's a specific time when the speed limit is reduced. Right now, enforcement is practically impossible because when children are present is such a subjective standard that it's hard for law enforcement to be able to be seeing the kid, be seeing somebody violating the speed limit, be able to enforce that in court, or back that up in court, is a very subjective standard that's a lot harder for enforcement. And so we think and we see from data from other states that having specific time zones when the speed limit is reduced is a lot better for enforcement, not to mention, efforts just across the state to provide more funding for public safety, for their ability to enforce all of our laws. Yeah, thanks. Good question. Everyone was shy at first, and then we got rolling. Any other questions folks have? Thank you very much for being here. Thank you to all of our speakers for speaking about the importance of this bill. And go out and tell your friends and get them to support it too, because we're going to need all the help we can get. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it.